Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study of Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at how, for the consecrated Christian, there are no options in the will of God. You simply do it. Let's continue with that lesson today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
That takes us to verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, knowing what he would leave behind, he feared God above kings, knowing that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now, it's interesting, the Greek verb used here has a sense of choosing as a single act, something instant, something that was not over a period of time. In other words, he didn't question God. As far as he is concerned, he consecrated himself to God and just took God at his word. Whatever God said, that was it. Don't question it. You know, as a consecrated Christian, we have no options to the will of God. That is, if you're going to be consecrated, if you're going to be a consecrated Christian, then there are absolutely no options to the will of God. You simply do His will. Now, there are options out there. There are even options in religious work, but not as far as a consecrated man is concerned. Now, the people of God were a suffering lot. The promise was 400 years, and later, the Lord would bring them out. Now, at the moment, it doesn't seem likely. Just like it didn't seem likely when Joseph is in that prison house that his brethren would ever come and bow to him, it doesn't seem likely that God is going to use Moses to deliver him from the hands of the greatest king on earth, the most powerful king of men. But the performance of faith chooses to suffer with the people of God now, that he might have his portion with them hereafter. God's deliverance is not dependent upon earthly favorable circumstances. Don't you like the fact that he didn't go around giving his testimony of all he gave up to follow and serve the Lord? Now, my friend, even if the President of the United States gave up his office for the ministry, it would not be a step down to do the will of God. The pleasures of sin for a season has the idea of the temporary enjoyment of sin. Sin provides pleasure and enjoyment for the flesh. But the results are often guilt and regret. In addition to the fact, it is only for a season. But we see in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That takes us to verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God's people are, and always have been, a reproached people. Now let me share with you a promise that most of us don't want to claim. I mean, most saved people don't like claiming this promise, but it is a promise. It's found in 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Means you, it'll happen. Now, persecution may be physical. It may be mental. It can be various attacks of the devil working through economy, through bodily sickness, the opposition of people. But the devil will attack. It is the reproach of Christ, not reproached for Christ, that we read here in verse 26 again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So don't miss that. The scoffing and mockery Christ has suffered, and the ones who are followers of Christ will suffer, as long as the devil remains out of the pit, will continue. But then we're reminded of the Beatitudes. Knowing that those things are going to happen, think of Matthew 5, 10 through 12. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, not just persecuted because you're obnoxious and arrogant. No, but persecuted for righteousness' sake, obedience to the Lord. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, I've had people make accusations against me that, boy, it used to really just bother me. Say, that's an out-and-out lie. Why would they say that? Well, I believe Satan got in their heart and just really had an influence. But what is my reaction supposed to be? And I'm ashamed to say it hasn't always been that way. Verse 12 says to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You remember Paul on the road to Damascus? Jesus asked, why do you persecute me? Again, it is the reproaches of Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings. He looks at it, if you persecute one of God's people, you're persecuting him. Now, because Moses had faith in God's word, he made major life-altering decisions. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, of which rust and moth could corrupt, and it would corrode. We find that in Jesus Christ, there is absolutely no corruption. Now, notice the last part of the verse. It says, for he had respect. Here, Hebrews 11, 26. The idea is that the focus of Moses was on the reward. It was on the riches of Christ promised by God for eternity, rather than the riches and the affluence of Egypt. He knew the blessings promised by God were eternal in nature, with no regret. Whereas the pleasures of Egypt were short-lived and full of regret. Oh, yes. They looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. So he knew the eternal nature of the promises of God have no end. He knows the eternal nature has no regrets. He had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What a blessing when people are able to despise the world when they actually are capable of relishing and enjoying it, but instead they choose to despise the world. And that's still true in this world today. In James chapter 4, verse 4, we read this. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Have you ever heard someone say, well, everybody's doing it. Well, in Egypt, that was their attitude. Egypt is a type of the world and religion today. Now, you choose to stand boldly or to not stand boldly. You see, endurance in the Christian life is built by faith in the eternal promises of God. It's when we start getting our eyes off the promises of God, we get our eyes off His Word and begin to look at the circumstances, is when we begin to sink in the water, so to speak. You see, you endure by just keeping your eyes on the Lord. Now, to go away from the pleasures of sin for a season, to esteem the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, one must separate from the world and from its carnality unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, folks, let's face it. We're not immune from embracing a faulty but religious worldview. If we will fill our minds with the ideas and philosophies of the world and accept everything else we hear without comparing it to God's Word, then we will begin to think like the world. That's why so many churches and ministries today are building themselves and patterning themselves after business models that were successful in the world, because they have abandoned the hardness of the way the Lord lays it out for us in Scripture. Now, friend, dross must be removed before there is a vessel for the finer. Silver or gold is not formed into beautiful jewelry until it is purged of that which is impure and corruptible. And so, yes, as Christians, we go through the fires, we go through the crucibles of trial. But those fires help to conform us to the image of Christ. And as a Christian, we look ahead and see ourselves as joint heirs with Jesus. Now, that takes us on to verses 27 through 29, and we see the greatest performance of faith in Moses' life was actually in the last one-third of his life. Yogi Berra, past Major League Baseball player and manager, said it best in only the way that he could say it. It ain't over till it's over. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tremble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation.